This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Tuesday, November 26th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today, and I hope everybody enjoyed that victory Monday. Obviously, the injury to Brandon Graham still kind of hovers over that win from the Eagles, but man, if you can remove that, which I know is tough to do, that win looks better and better the more you get away from it. The defense dominated. The offense looked outstanding. Put up 37 points without Devontae out there, without really forcing many turnovers from the defense either. Like, that was just an efficient, dominating game from the Eagles on Sunday night, and I'm sure you could feel it on Monday. Nationally, the discussion was, is Saquon MVP? Are the Eagles legit? It is crazy how much a primetime game can change everything for a team. So we got plenty to get into today, including Sirianni's message to the team after the game. Jeffrey Lurie sells a little bit of the Eagles, which we'll get into. And then I want to play for you guys Brandon Graham on the Brandon Graham Show. That'll be after the ads in this pod. I think it's important to hear from him. Didn't really get a chance to do that in the daily pod Monday morning. And I thought Spike and Howard Eskin did an awesome job talking to him. And it's always good to hear from him and what he has to say. So that'll be on the other side of the commercial break. But first, as we always do, let's get into what is on the schedule today. And I feel bad. I feel like I misled you guys. I said yesterday that Nick Sirianni would talk on Monday. And why would I say that? Because Nick Sirianni has talked on Monday after every single Sunday game for pretty much his entire time he's been here. But guess what Nick didn't do on Monday? He didn't talk. So they got in late from LA, completely understandable. But Nick will talk today. That is the word. Nick will talk to the media today. And in addition to Nick, we'll also hear from the coordinators, Kellen Moore, Vic Fangio, Michael Clay. And look, with the way Vic's defense is playing, obviously going to be great to hear from him, but also what he plans to do with Brandon Graham. I know he's not going to get out there and say his exact plan, but what does he think of guys like Taron Jackson? Does he feel like they need to add somebody? Where's Jalix Hunt at? So a lot of interesting questions there for Vic Fangio. And then there's always Kellen Moore, who really doesn't say much, asking about how he thought Saquon looked, and I'm sure he'll give a riveting answer on that one. So that'll be what's on the schedule for today. They're going to hear from the coaches. The injury report, it is crazy. The Eagles will be right back at practice on Wednesday, and that'll be our first chance to really look at who is hurt and who is not. Darius Slay with the concussion, I'd be very, very surprised if he was out there on Wednesday, and I'd be surprised if he's out there on Sunday against Baltimore. I just think you look around the league, players with concussions don't normally return the Sunday after. It was a Sunday night game. And I also say, like, Darius has been kind of on and off the field the last 2 weeks. It might not be the worst thing in the world for him to take a week off and rest his body up, because as we saw on Sunday night, it's looking like the Eagles are certainly capable of a pretty deep playoff run. Devontae Smith, we'll see if he's out there on Wednesday. I don't think Devontae will be out there. I think it's 50-50 whether he plays against Baltimore or not, but Wednesday will be our first indication of that. Obviously, Devontae posted on Instagram prior to the Eagles game with the little chill guy emoji. It's clear he wants to be back out there. Missing that game had to kill him. And then Baltimore is a massive game as well, so we'll see if he is out there. Then the other two to keep an eye on are just Reed Blankenship and Josh Sweat. Both left the game, both returned. I would expect both are out there against Baltimore. I think if they don't practice on Wednesday, it's not a huge red flag. I could picture the Eagles giving them a day to rest the body coming off of, Reed dealing with the shoulder injury, and Josh Sweat, I believe, was an ankle that had him out. So definitely after, 12 games, 11 games. Wow. After 11 games, every player is going to have a little bit of bumps and bruises. And unfortunately with Brandon, it's more than that. So that is the injury report. Now, let's get into the news of the day. And let's start with a piece of interesting news. Not often we get to talk about this. Jeffrey Lurie sold two minority stakes in the team. He has sold them. This was the interesting part. The deal, the club was evaluated at $8.1 billion. Jeffrey bought the club in 1994 for $195 million. Pretty good investment, I would say. Seems like that has gone well for him. Combined, and this is according to the Sports Business Journal, combined, the two new investors will have 8% of the club. Jeffrey Lurie, I believe he's still going to have around 85%, so obviously still the vast majority of the team, and he'll still be very much involved. I think when it first came out that he was selling a little bit, you do think, he's done it for a really long time. He's obviously an older man. Maybe he's going to take a step back, but with how good this team is and just, how much fun, frankly, it looks like he still is doing it, I think Jeffrey's going to be around for quite a bit longer. So for those interested, according to the Sports Business Journal, the two buyers are the family trust of Ed Pazowski, founder of United Communications Group, and he was a former co-owner of the NBA's Atlanta Hawks. He gets 4.75%. And then the second one is Susan Kim, chairman of the board of semiconductor company Amkor Technology. Very exciting stuff there. Would buy 3.125%. So that, again, that brings it out to around the 8.5% or 8% the 8% that he'll be selling of the team. So, I don't think it's the end of the world. Jeffrey gets some cash. Two people get to join the Eagles family. I would think that Jeffrey was probably pretty selective on who he sold to the team. I'm sure there was no shortage of buyers out there. So just a little bit of interesting news from the Eagles with Jeffrey, giving up 8% of the team. All right, next up. So the Eagles released the video for the post-game video, which they always do every week, of Nick Sirianni talking to the team. And I want to play it for you guys. And I have some thoughts on it. And it was funny. I talked to some Eagles fans and some Go Birds listeners when I was in LA. It was awesome to meet all you guys. It was always super fun to meet the auto downloaders, the real ones. And I joked that the daily pod can sometimes feel like a 20-minute diary for me. So I was watching the clip and I had a thought, and I'm just curious if you guys agree or not on this. So here is the message from Nick, and then I'm going to give you guys my thoughts. So here's what Nick said, a part of at least, what Nick said to the team after the game, and this is courtesy of the Eagles.
Guys, that was unbelievable defense. That was unbelievable on offense. Franchise record for Saquon, 255 yards. Now, hey, listen to me. I want to keep it at this. Everybody watched that game, and everyone's calling you and telling you how f***ing good you are. We have not done shit. Nope. Put your head down and work. It's the work that's got us here. You guys have been playing your ass off, and it's the work that's got us here. All right, let's pray.
So I definitely think it's a good message. And we saw a snippet of this last week, or was it last week or the week before, where Nick said, I've won 10 games. We've won 11 games. We've been to the comp, we've done all that. He's trying to do something special. And I get that, right? And I think it's a good message. And especially because at this time last year was when the collapse began, right? They went from, 10-1. Obviously, we all know how that ended. So I do understand stressing to the team, hey, we still have so much more to accomplish, and especially coming off a game where all of a sudden Saquon is top four in MVP odds, and the Eagles, I believe, are fourth in Super Bowl odds, and everybody, I mean, Jalen is top five in MVP odds, and everything is kind of, you know, the Eagles are a far way away from everyone thinking they're bad, and Nick should be fired, and Jalen's not that good, and, you know, all those things, right? They're far way away from that, and so I understand the message of saying to them, hey, like, people are going to tell you you're awesome, but you got to keep working. Like, I do understand that. But here would just be a devil's advocate argument for this. I'm curious if you guys agree. I think, like, cautioning against the collapse might be a bit of an overkill. We all know the collapse happened. All the players know it happened. And I think part of the reason that collapse happened is because the weight of expectations to go back to the Super Bowl, they didn't handle it well. And there's going to be a ton of pressure happening with this team right now, right? Again, they could be at the one seed. They're 9-2. Like, everything is there for them in front of them. They could win the Super Bowl this year, obviously. And they're being discussed as a team that could win the Super Bowl. I just think that being around the team last year, what they didn't have was fun. They didn't have fun at the end of the year, right? Remember, they like went to that like escape room at the end of the year to try to get everyone to hang out. I remember Brandon Graham on the Brandon Graham show saying that, you know, like, we don't have to be friends. We essentially just have to be coworkers and get along. Like, it was ugly last year. That's not the case this year. So I think Nick saying what he said is not a massive deal, but I would just caution a little bit. Excuse me. I very much apologize for that. I would just caution a little bit against, like, constantly reminding this team they collapsed last year. You haven't accomplished anything. You have so much more work to do. Nick knows the team. If that's the message he thinks they need, then go for it. But I do think there's something to be said of, like, letting these guys, like, feel good about themselves a little bit. It's been a long year for a lot of these players. Jalen has been a really long year. Saquon, in a different way, has been a long year. He went through free agency. He went on, like, you know, a trash Giants team last year. AJ dealt with, you know, some off the field drama last year when he didn't talk and, like, all those things. Like, these players have had rough years, right? Like, it's better now, obviously. But if you think of the last calendar year, the majority of that not been super fun, right? Like, that collapse last year, the 2-2 start, the expectations in training camp, the ugly bye week. I'm not saying that they should get cocky. I'm not saying that they don't have to work anymore. I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying is it might be nice for them to be able to enjoy it. And that would be my only advice to Nick on messaging. And he knows him, and I trust him. But maybe don't constantly remind them that, you know, they haven't accomplished anything. Because I think this team does better when they're feeling themselves, when they're cocky, when they're confident, they're dancing. And that comes from, like, feeling like you're accomplishing something. So, just devil's advocate. I was thinking about it when I was on the plane ride home from LA. It feels like there's going to be a lot of talk coming up about the collapse and about how this team hasn't done anything and there's bigger goals. And that's all true. But, like, you also got to enjoy coming to work every day. You also have to feel like you're accomplishing something. You also have to not be constantly reminded of your failures. And I think there's something to be said for that, where, yes, I understand, like, don't drink the perfume or whatever it was. Don't eat the rat poison. I get all that. But, man, it's been an ugly time around the Eagles for quite a while. Maybe let's not hammer home that the team hasn't accomplished anything. And let's let these guys enjoy it a little bit, because they've been through a lot of adversity to get to where they are. So, speaking of adversity, the guy we don't want to see go through it, but unfortunately is going to be going through a little bit of it. Brandon Graham was on the Brandon Graham show last night, obviously with Spike Eskin and Howard Eskin. And, you know, it was just a good listen, like, to hear Brandon's perspective of it, what he said to the team, the injury, all those things. So I'm going to play that for you guys on the other side. But since you won't be hearing from me again, I got to end as I always do, because that's how I do it. Like, that's how I have to do it. He's Elliot. I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities, all with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Brandon Graham Show live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philly, brought to you by Miller Lite. It is Miller time, Eagles fans. All right, it's a win. We got to start with
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Brandon Graham, how are you feeling?
You know what, man? With that right there, with that energy, man, what am I thinking about, man? I'm out here, I'm feeling good, man, coming in here, and at the end of the day, stuff happens in life, but it's how you deal with it. And so for me, the way I'm going to deal with it, I'm going to just serve my guys like I always do, and I'm going to make sure I maximize all that I can do as a captain for the guys. And I know I don't want nobody feeling bad for me, because I'm still going to be me, you know what I'm saying, at the end of the day, because we all got stuff that we're dealing with. People got way worse stuff that they're dealing with. So for me, all I can do is be a service to my teammates and my team, and make sure that we continue to keep our mindset on the mission. And people going to go down, but it's how you respond, and it's other opportunities for other guys, like, you know, Jalix, who I think is going to be really good. You see Nolan Smith already coming out, and then Sweaty J for sure. And then I don't know how we going to play it with anybody else coming in. But all I know is, man, we got a good defense. We together, and we're going to keep doing our dinners together. We're going to keep doing all this stuff. And whenever I can be out on that field after surgery, I'm going to make sure I'm out there. But when I'm in that building, man, I'm all the way.
So I'm going to ask you a couple things that I'm sure you've been asked already and you'll be asked again. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is about this year. Is there I guess they don't know until you get imaging or whatever, but is there a possibility that at some point, maybe in the playoffs, you could return, or is this kind of an injury that you're done for this year?
I asked the same thing on the sideline. I was like, hey, when I first came on the sideline, because what happened was I ended up getting hit by the running back on the chip where I'm going past the lineman and the running back right there, and so he hit me right in my elbow, man, and I just started, holding it for a second. What got to the sideline. I mean, as you can see, I could still move it, do everything right. But when I do certain movements, it was hurting me. But on the sideline, I'm like, I'm good, right? He's like, can you do this, do that? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I can ball my fists up. I can do that. I'm about to get back in the game. And he started messing with it. And then he whispered in my ear that, man, I think you tore your tricep. And I was like, no. I'm like, man, I don't. And so he started doing these other movements with me, and boy, sure enough, I say, I think I tore my tricep. But man, I'm telling you, this four month thing.
Okay.
And I talked to Javon Hargrave, because he just tore his. It's crazy that he tore his right on the Rams field in September, playing the Rams, out there with the 49ers. And I was talking to him about the whole process, and he was just saying, like, the first 4 weeks, pretty much, you're going to be in one of those
a sling,
and then you go from a sling to a brace, and then after that, that's when they start building, doing your movement stuff after, like, 6 weeks, really 6 weeks. And it just gave me more clarity, and I had some good talks with some people, and man, they just made me feel better about the situation, and talk with my wife, and we just gonna attack this thing, and I ain't never ruling out nothing, but at the end of the day, man, if I had to go out on a game like that, man, the game don't owe me nothing, and I don't feel like I don't owe the game nothing. It's more like everything just been a plus for me, cause I love the game, honestly, but. Man, I was sick because I couldn't be out there with my boys, but I know I could be out there in another way for them, so I'm going to make sure I maximize my new role.
And then the second question that you know is coming, and I think you hinted at it there, coming into this year, the idea was that this would be your last year with the Eagles, and then you had to go and start playing well. Mm-hmm. Have you started thinking about rehabbing and potentially coming back and playing again next year?
Well, you know what, man? I definitely, it's definitely in my mind for sure to work, and you know, but I want to see what it looked like for me as far as how I'm rehabbing, how I'm training, because I mean, every year is different. Every year is different, and I know how I've been playing this year. We worked so hard to get to this point, and so I had to make sure I keep that same drive to work, to make sure I stay at this point, make sure I keep my weight down, keep all this stuff that I've been working so hard on this offseason, and not going to one of them stress eaters. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's what I notice about myself. You know, I like to eat when I'm a little stressed, but I'm trying to be aware of all my little emotions, trying to deal with them the best way I can, and I know I'm talking about it a lot more and being more articulate on how I'm really feeling. And so I think I'm doing a better job with that. So we'll see, man. I'm excited for what's to come. The future is very bright on and off the field. Whatever it is, I know that, you know, I'm going to go hard at it. And, yeah, man, I'm proud of the guys, man. They worked their butt off for that game. That game right there, man, we wanted that one. And we went out there and got it. And, and it ain't easy to play on the road. So I just want to credit my guys, man. Them boys went out there and played their butt off.
You know, you at least the last couple of weeks said your elbow was giving you problems and hurting you. So you knew something was wrong, right? That something was wrong with it.
I knew every time, like some in times in the game, sometimes I get a hit and it's just a little quick sting, and then I'm like, okay, it went away. But this time, that sting would just lasted a little longer, but then it went away. But then when he started pressing on it and I started feeling that it was a little squishy, I knew something wasn't right because I couldn't feel it when he was pressing it. And then when he told me to do some of the movements, I knew, I was like, yeah, I started to feel that pain even more. But man, like I said, I just had that love for the game. I wanted to get back in so bad, but I couldn't. He told me that. He's like, you're done, man. Like, I can't even let you do that to yourself.
So they wouldn't let you
and
go
I wanted
back.
To wrap it up. I ain't going to lie. I wanted to wrap it up. Because I'm like Ray Lewis did it. You know, he did it. But that was Super Bowl, though. If it was Super Bowl, I definitely
would. Yeah, but
he
was using that deer antlered stuff or whatever. Yeah, that illegal stuff.
Deer antler spray.
Okay. Yeah,
deer.
Okay.
So what's that? What's
he was
that?
Breaking the rules.
He numb it up?
I don't know what it is, but it was breaking the rules.
That's crazy. Yeah. Hey, so, I don't want to do that.
No.
It ain't that. It is that serious, but it ain't that serious.
You know what? I know at some point Nick will address it. Nick Sirianni will address it in a certain way. And apparently you've already talked to the players and told them that in the Super Bowl winning year, you lost five key players.
Mm-hmm.
Did you? You know, I don't like cliches, but next man up. Even though it's a cliche, it's reality.
Yeah.
So, did you explain to the guys? And I'm sure guys came up to you after the game. Next man up.
Yeah. I mean, I told them. I was like, look, the mission's still the mission. And so when our brothers go down, that's when we grow even more tighter together. That's when we got to do it even more for each other. Because I know if I see one of my brothers go down, that's going to make me go even harder because I know he wish he was out there. And I tell him all the time when I break it down, like, hey, you got to appreciate every moment you got out here, even with the guys that you got for this year. Because next year is going to be different. How are we going to have a whole mindset for a new team if we don't do what we're supposed to do this year? So I know for me, it was the same type of talk that I always had with the guys. Like, man, appreciate the moments. Take the pictures, get the videos, do the dances, the celebrations, all that stuff. You don't want to hold back because when you look back on it, you're going to be happy that you maximize on it. And now I just got to – I've been preaching it. Now I got to just – I got to, you know, listen to my own words. And I'm just trying to be the best that I can with, you know, just letting them know, hey, man, I'm going to be me. Being hurt, like I say, it's 10% – 90% of what happens to you is 10% of how you deal with it. And so I know for me I'm going to deal with it. In a great way, and if I got some real issues, I go talk to somebody.
And then people are going to wonder, well, should the Eagles bring somebody in? I don't know that a guy can come in at this point in the season and be better than what's already on the team.
Yeah.
Have you looked at this team and say, there's guys here that can do it without them bringing something?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. We already had a four-man rotation, and I'm used to a three-man anyway. So Jaylee's just about to get some reps, you know, and I'm loving that for him because he wanted this. And I'm going to be there right along with him to help him through all of it, you know. And him, Nolan, Sweaty for sure. Sweaty going to be a good asset to him to be able to learn from him and talk with him even more. But we need people to step up. And, man, who knows? He might be the one to make the big play. You know what I'm saying? Then he make a big name for himself, and then that's the start of his legacy going forward.
You know what? You got to teach guys how to instigate the other team when they go out on the field. Now, right?
Hey, you know what? I don't want everybody to try to beat me. I want them to beat them with them being themselves. I mean, like, do what you do with them being yourself. Right. But if you talk stuff, hey, it's all good to let people know what's up. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you got to walk the walk when you talk the talk.
Oh, you better. You better. Because yeah. They're going to come right at you.
Right.
CJ GJ is a good instigator. I saw him in the Rams huddle at one point yesterday. So he can pick up some of that, I think.
I know. Sometimes you gotta be – I mean, I know how Fletch was my guy to hold me back sometimes. And, I mean, I know I ain't trying to get in no trouble. You know, I ain't trying to hurt the team with getting no silly penalties and nothing like that. But it is some people out there that lose their mind a little bit. So, like, I'm going to have to stay on, like, a JC or a CD. When people say something, sometimes, man, they get under their skin or might say something that might be true because they know them. It's like, man, you gotta be able to step in the middle of them because them boys will go there.
I thought CJ was going to get a penalty when he was on the other sideline.
Was
that when Slay got hurt?
Yeah, that's when Slay got hurt.
The other side, I said, wait a minute, he's going to get a penalty.
I know. And the refs, even though they didn't give us no calls.
They were horrible.
They didn't give us no calls. They screwed Landon Dickerson,
boy.
I know they did.
That was terrible.
I know it was. But, you know, we ain't here. I ain't here to talk about it. I'm just saying, you know. I can thank them for that moment of not like getting CD.
Were they gonna fine you for speaking the truth?
Nah, I just don't want nobody hitting me with my words and putting it out there saying, yeah, BG said the refs stunk.
Yeah,
well they did. I mean, I was saying.
He's saying it, not you. Yeah, that would be clear. Man. Howard said it, not BG.
Man, it's crazy.
I mean, they had on the challenge on the fumble on mm-hmm. that first series. I mean, the officials, how did they called a fumble on the field,
yep.
And then they let them start again.
Well, they didn't call a fumble on the field. They said it wasn't a fumble.
Well, yeah, but then when they announced that it was a fumble, we called a fumble on the field is what the officials said.
Oh, that's not what happened, though. Yeah.
I know.
Oh, the first drive?
Yeah. I mean, it's and Nick had to go down there and said, what are you doing? You know, he threw the challenge flag out before they started the play.
Yeah.
It was
crazy because they almost got away with one right there.
Yeah, that could have changed
that
the game.
That was big.
No question.
That was big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not a question, just a statement about you. And everybody says this about you, but, you know, I saw online what had happened. Mm-hmm. And then I see you after the game in the locker room. And there he is, the exact same BG that I see every Monday,
mm-hmm.
who just tore your triceps, season ended, but with a smile, talking, you know, the motivation, talking about your teammates, that sort of stuff. And then today, here we are the next day, the same place, and there you are, like, with that same energy.
Yeah.
And I guess there's nothing, it's only to say that is to compliment your way. Because, you know, people look to athletes, for kids look up to athletes, mm-hmm. people look to inspiration from athletes, and you handling adversity that way publicly, I just think is really meaningful. And I think everybody in Philadelphia, they love you because you're a great player,
mm-hmm.
but they also love you because you're you. And you were you last night and you're you today. So
I appreciate you.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate y'all. No, honestly, man, like you say, you got kids looking up to you. And so for me, you know how fast these days be flying. Man, how fast we done already. We was talking Brazil, now what? We in week 12? Week
13.
13?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And dang, I can't even wear 12. My dang on my cars, my cleats. I got them all done up and stuff.
No,
but it's cool though. Yeah. Hey, but, you know, it's how fast time flies. Stuff will be, man, it's brighter days ahead. And you got to believe that. And so for me, when I tore my Achilles the first time, that was my first test of, like, some real adversity that I ain't dealt with in a while. And the first thing I could think about is, man, I just said I wanted to spend some time with my kids a little more. And look what happened. Now I get a whole off season with them, you know. And so I want to make sure I spend that good time. And so I say the same thing with this. It's like, you know what? I might not finish the season right, but, you know, I get some time to spend with the family again. We're going to do some more stuff that's going to help me get through on top of being out there on the field, because that helps being out there in the thick of it with the guys. And, you know, it just make you feel like you're a part of it. not being far away from it, and I ain't running from it. And that's what you shouldn't do. You shouldn't run from it when adversity hit. You should look at it straight on and go right at it. And I think that's for me. That's what I want to do. I just want to go right at it. I'm like, in a couple weeks, maybe a month from now, I'm gonna be happy because I'm gonna be in rehab and I'm been and progressed and gotten feeling better. And I ain't gonna be thinking about it as much, especially if we still winning and we doing it as a team, man. I think if anything, now I can sit back and be happy because my guys, it didn't rattle them or nothing happened. Everybody just got stronger from it. So I want to make sure that that they attack everything head on and don't worry about me because I'm gonna be all right.
Now, I know you were talking about it from a team standpoint when you said if that ends up being my last game, it was a good last game. And I know you were talking about it from a team standpoint, but you specifically, all year, there's usually one play a game, or at least, where it's a big, it's a fourth and two, and there's BG, or there's a big third down stop, and there's you. But yesterday, you were all over the place. Now, you mentioned that you guys really wanted it yesterday. Mm-hmm. Was there something about that game? Because you looked inspired, and I thought the defense in general looked really, really great. After the first couple of drives, looked really good yesterday.
Well, you know, people kept talking trap game, this and that. They, you know, just trying to just make it take – they trying to really take the blow of, like, you know, of, man, if we lose, it's all right because we've been going on. It's like, nah, man, we going into every game trying to win. We trying to win. But it's just when I heard that, I was like, it just gave me a little more juice because I'm like, man, people are already preparing themselves for us to lose. Talking about a trap game, man, nah. Every week is a new week. Every day that we get to practice on how we practice that week, it showed up big in the game. Sometimes we wasn't on the boots and play actions in practice, and it showed up a little bit in there, but we tightened up. But it was just so cool that how we was all talking through the game and going through, hey, we need to stop here. We need a big one here. And, make that play next time. It's not nobody pointing fingers. It's just more like, hey, let's make it. Let's do this. You know what I'm saying? Together. And so, that's why we got such a good team. And I think I'm more hurt about me not being able to help them on a player level, but I know for me now it's like, dang, like, man, I'm gonna make sure I maximize as a captain and make sure that they mind, you know, stay their mindset and make sure that they know that I'm all the way 100% behind them and I'm gonna help them any way I can.
You know, that was a more important game than people realize because it was a conference game. You understood that.
I understood
right?
that.
Yeah. You have to try to stay with Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the team. I don't worry about Minnesota right now, but to try to stay because they're in that division, they're going to get beat by Detroit.
Yep.
But just you needed to win that conference game. That could have, because that's the first tiebreaker. Conference games,
man. And that
was a bigger win than just a win, even though you say it's just one game.
Yeah.
But you understood that.
I understand. You know, yeah, if you got a tiebreaker and if you, like you said, you beat certain guys and the other team didn't, that's when the tiebreakers happen. So, yeah, man, like I told y'all, a win is a win in this league, as you can see. And it's been happening, and we just been getting better every week. And, man, it's a credit to the coaches. It's credit to the players making the decision. After that bye week, man, everybody just wanted to get it right. And I think, man, we had a good Thursday game to help us get some rest for a weekend right in the middle. And then if we can get that first round bye, boy, that'd be even better. But all I want to do is have that shirt of winning the NFC East and then us going ahead getting that first round bye so we can make this run.
All right. Well, we'll take a break. Pete was nice enough. But Pete always brings you out a very special Brandon Graham plate. So,
well, the stuff that they got in the back.
Yes.
On the
yep. So we'll take a break. We'll be back. If you're watching on YouTube, you have a question for BG, leave it in the chat. We will be back. This is the Brandon Graham Show, Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. It is brought to you by Miller Lite. It is Miller time, Eagles fans. Celebrate responsibly. Brandon Graham Show, live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. It is brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time, Eagles fans. Celebrate responsibly. So, BG, I asked for questions in the YouTube chat, and it is mostly just how much everybody loves you, not a lot of questions. So, this one I thought, this one is representative of all the other ones. James said, Brandon, you are and will remain in my prayers. I hope that 16's in the cards. But if not, thank you for all you've done and stand for. You're a great Eagle. In my opinion, the greatest Eagle and still the only UM guy I've cheered for before, besides my cousin Drew Henson. So there you go.
Okay.
Even people who don't like Michigan.
Nah, man, yeah. I appreciate it, man. At least we got a common ground with Midnight Green.
Yeah, yep. So I'm watching the game last night. And those first two drives, I'm sitting on my couch. I'm like, oh, no, here we go.
Yeah.
But then after those two, all of a sudden you guys tightened up. It actually looked like they were doing a little bit of what Tampa did to you guys, just those
quick game. Mm-hmm.
And so what happens after those first two drives that stops them from being successful that you guys were able to do?
That's why I say, like, we talk about stuff on the sideline and how they're trying to attack us. And you see in the first 15 plays, you can tell how the game going to go. And what they trying to do, what they, you know, because they always show their hand in the beginning. Both all the teams do. We all do. We never save nothing for real other than, you know, just halftime adjustments and all that stuff. But, man, for the most part, they definitely were trying to do a lot of what they did in Tampa. Then the boot game, the play action,
yep.
the boot game, running game. They tried to do the insert runs where the receivers was going in between the tackle and the tight end. That's what we call insert. And it just created another gap in the middle.
Ah.
And so when they go in, and then they was doing this too where on the play actions, the receivers was going in between the lines, like, you know, and that's how they do, though. That's how we practice that, though. We knew that they do that, but they did that a lot because receivers can get lost in the middle like that, where a guy that could be looking a certain way and looking to see where a receiver went, and then he ended up going through the line and being wide open in the flats. So a couple times when they ran boots, you see how Cooper Kupp and them, they line up right outside the tackle and get real close. Like, it's just, man, because they want to play with your eyes a little bit. They want to see if you being disciplined. And in them type of games, you got to be disciplined.
Yeah, So when you're making those adjustments, you guys are saying that you're talking on the sideline.
Yeah.
How much of that is you guys communicating with each other, and how much of it is Vic changing scheme?
Well, it's not really changing scheme. It's more of he got scheme for plays that they run, but then some plays might not be real good against certain schemes that they have, and so. What we do is we talk about it and we look at the iPads and you see the formations and you try to look at the formation to see how they trying to get us. Most of the time, some of the games that we've seen, the receivers was coming on on our sides. Like, you know, as say if I'm lined up on the tackle, if they run in the boot, a receiver come hit me from the side as the quarterback wrapping around. And, you know, they did it a lot. But this game, they was bluffing us. They was acting like they was going to do that so that we can jump out and then the tackle would come grab us. But after we seen that they wasn't doing what we thought they was going to do, we just kept going after the tackle and not worrying about them bluffing us to make us react to them instead of reacting to the tackle. So that's the little stuff, man, that people don't see within the game that we talk about. But, man, that's why I say it's great communication, because it has to be great communication between coach to player, player to coach. Because the coach is not out there. He just said, what you see? I can tell you what I see as the scheme or what they doing, but how are they playing it? Is this guy really good? Can we attack him on certain stuff? Like, and you see how guys handle different schemes that we put towards them, especially younger guys. And sometimes it's scheme mess them up, because maybe in practice they practice to block a certain way with a certain scheme, and then we switch it up on them. Then it's like, You gotta make communication on the fly sometimes out there, even with us. When it's like, oh man, we ain't go over this, but hey, just trust your rules. Hey, you do this and you do this, and then we have to see how it kind of play out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's chess out there for real, and you really do gotta play the game. You gotta be patient.
You know, I'm wondering if Matthew Stafford is the best quarterback you face this year. He's a good quarterback.
He is, though. He is.
Yeah.
Burrow? Better than Burrow.
Who?
Joe Burrow.
No, you're right.
Yeah, Burrow and Stafford. But Stafford's good. He's got cannon, man.
Yeah,
he's got a strong arm.
I mean, he can make all the throws. He can make the throws for sure. You know what I'm saying?
And he did. until you stopped him. I mean, that's not, it wasn't easy.
That's a good
crisp
team, man.
And he finds tight windows. He does it all.
Because they have a good team. They just ain't been healthy. You know what I'm saying? And they finally was healthy these last couple games. And we knew we didn't play that game of people beating them. It's like, man, them boys hung with the Lions in the first game. You know, them boys was out there playing. And we knew that this team was good. And we went out there that first drive. I mean, we got that fumble. Thank you. But then the second drive, they go down there, they score. Then I don't know what we do. We got 3 points, huh?
3 points.
Yeah, three.
Right.
And then we come out second half.
I think
I
it got
say.
To 7-6, too.
Yeah, 7-6, yeah. And then that's when we took off. Yep. You know. But all it takes, man, is for us to get some stops in there, get them to punt a little bit, because that's what you want from a defense. You want to stop the drives and get off the field. And, man, we definitely did that towards the second quarter going into the half, especially when we missed the field goal. Or was that a field goal? Did he miss?
No, they missed the field goal.
Oh, no, but did we go for fourth down? We went for a fourth down, huh? How did they get the ball back before the half where Sweaty got the slack at the end? It might have been a turnover on downs.
I think
we didn't get the fourth.
You know, I'm not sure about that.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think we only went for it on one fourth down. It was in the fourth quarter on
our
own 18.
So I want to say we kicked it. Yeah,
we did kick it.
Yeah, we kicked it because we was in the dome, and I know Jake can definitely make it in the dome from a little further. But, I think we handled the situations well. We got off the field when we were supposed to. Of course, you know, they're going to make plays because they professionals too. But I think when it came down to it, we had to fight against the penalties, and then we still made it work. And so, man, I just say we kept our composure, we kept our cool, and guys just made their plays when they were supposed to.
You know what? Saquon Barkley is terrific, and we know that. And people love offense. I mean, and I understand it. Defense doesn't get the admiration that it probably should get. But without this defense, there might have been two more losses. Mm-hmm. As great, and he has really done an unbelievable job.
Oh, yeah.
But he runs the ball. But you got to stop the other team when you're not scoring.
For real.
Does anybody, you know, come over to the other side of the line in the locker room and say, hey, you guys saved our ass today?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, one thing I will say, Jalen does a great job of that. And he's done even more this year because, of course, you know, he's been, like I told you, he's been getting better every year as a leader. You know, we all not perfect. I'm sure people can find things about me just as much as we can find things about him. He just got the number one spot where everybody's looking. And so I know for him, man, he's been great. He's been somebody who you feel his presence. You see him smiling, of course. ain't nobody talking about that now. You know what I'm saying? If he wasn't smiling and we winning, ain't nobody still ain't going to talk about it. But when we losing and people ain't smiling, then it's like, what's wrong with him? So let me tell you, I think that he's done a great job of having a good balance for himself to be him on top of, you know, kind of appease people too. Because, I mean, people want to just see, you know, just see you smiling. I get it. But, hey, at the end of the day, if a guy ain't got nothing to smile for, it's all good. It's all good because he's serious. When he get that ring, though, and he get that trophy, then I know he'll be smiling because I know that's his main goal.
And I'm sure there's other players who have, you know, you're not the only one with a great personality on the team.
Mm-hmm.
On offense that say, hey, man, you know, this is, and then kind of try to bring him along a little bit.
I just want him to be him, but I want him to enjoy being him. And so that comes with sometimes, like, man, ain't nobody making me be nothing other than myself. And maybe you might get a crack every now and again because, you know, hey, you just want to, like I say, you just want to appease people. Like, hey, you know what? Y'all always talking about me. So here you go. You know what I'm saying? Get him a little laugh. But I know him personally now. And it's like, that dude know what he doing. He know exactly what he doing. And he making sure that at the end of the day, he on his Kobe Bryant right now. You know what I'm saying? It's all serious. And when we get that ring, that's when we can party.
You know, I've never seen a guy change his shoes more than he does. You notice that?
I've heard about that. Every quarter, right?
Well, now he can't undo it. One game he had five changes. But yesterday he came out with a new pair of, I guess it's Jordan brand, of the green, the lime green or whatever. And then the second half, it was clearly a new pair of shoes. He had another pair of shoes on.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
Man, that boy Jay, man, whatever works. Hey, we winning.
Well, yeah, but the Jordan rep was there yesterday, too. The Jordan rep was there yesterday, too, so that probably helped.
Oh, yeah. Dang, he did have a Jordan rep there yesterday. Yeah. I meant to meet him just so I can.
Yeah, you want
to
get some
on?
Of that. Yeah.
How you doing? You need some tickets to the game? You want me to get you some sideline passes? Even though he already got all that, but, yeah. You know, just the thought that count, because, boy. Yeah, but no.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't change the way he plays, but it's just kind of interesting. I'm saying, wait a minute, he's got another pair of shoes.
Well, you got different shoes for each game.
Hey,
yeah, but each game, I don't change them in the middle of the game.
I don't know. If you could, you probably would.
Yeah, that's a good point. you know you would. Different color for each quarter.
You know what?
See, you're giving him ideas.
Yeah, but then I'd have to bring extra headphones to match the headphones.
Something tells me you'd figure it out. Something tells me you'd figure it out.
Can you imagine me doing that? I'd be ripped more than I get ripped
I actually
now.
Can't imagine that.
Oh, yeah, they'd get on you. But
I almost
cool
got smoked. Yeah, you saw that guy that Saquon ran over on the sideline?
Oh, yeah.
I was standing next to the guy, and I didn't know which way to move.
Yep.
So I moved the right way, and then he smoked the other guy.
And what happened? What happened with you the one year? You got hurt?
I got my leg broken.
Oh, Super Bowl year.
He definitely wouldn't be here right now talking to us if Saquon.
Not with the same smile that you. Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. I didn't tell anybody about it. I didn't know for 10 days until I got the X-ray.
Oh, okay.
I got before a Sixers game. One of the docs did both. Let me go in the leg. He says you're. Fibula's broken all the way through. I said, what? I says, now what do I do? He says, you should wear a boot. I said, I can't be on the sidelines with a boot. Can I get away without it? He said, just be careful. So I didn't want to tell anybody that I had a broken leg. So I worked 5 games with a broken leg. Don't tell me about being tough.
Oh, boy. There we go.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. That fibula, boy, that thing hurt.
It's a non-weight-bearing bone, so that was I was lucky.
Oh, okay.
I was lucky. If it was the other bone, I'd have been history.
Yeah, it would have been all bad right there.
Yeah, and that would have been Super Bowl year. I would have never forgotten that.
Nah, I'm glad you ain't missed that.
When Torrey Smith was tackled way out of bounds, it should have been a penalty, but it didn't do me any good.
Like we say, I hope them calls come later when we need them.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
Ones that we don't get right now.
Yeah.
All right. Still win.
We'll take one more quick break. We'll be back with the rest of the Brandon Graham Show. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. BG Show is brought to you by Miller Lite. It is Miller time, Eagles fans. Celebrate responsibly. It's the Brandon Graham Show. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly, as we always are. BG Show is brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time, Eagles fans. Celebrate responsibly. Coming up at 7 here at Chickies and Pete's and on your radio and on YouTube is the Players Lounge with Ike Reese and Hugh Douglas and Elliot Shore Parks. And this week's guest is Jordan Mailata. We all heard yesterday in Los Angeles, it sounded like more Eagles fans there than Rams fans. Did it sound, so yesterday, a lot of Eagles fans there, sounded like a home game. Did it sound as loud from Eagles fans on the field as it did?
Oh, yeah, you seen green everywhere. You seen green everywhere, man. When people said it was a home game, I mean, I get it. But, boy, we travel well. And then we got a bunch of LA fans out there, too, with us. So I'm excited about that.
The injury itself, so that's you have to get surgery on that, I assume. Is it surgery and then rehab, or is it just wait a while and see what happens?
Yep. I'll call you. My bad. Y'all, I had to tell my guy, you know who it was.
No worries.
Tell my guy that I'm all right. I'm going to call him in a minute.
All right.
But
surgery, yeah.
Surgery. Probably, you know, I'm going to try to do it, you know, next week so I can at least travel with the team one last time.
Okay.
For this week. And I mean, that's the goal. And then we'll see what happens. You know what I'm saying? But for the most part, man, I'm just trying to get this thing done so we can get started, start counting the days and to where I get back full strength. And, you know, we just see what happens.
And then as far as your snaps that are replaced, you mentioned the guys who are already playing edge for you guys.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything creatively, like, is that something, could Milton Williams, could he play edge? Could they put Bond there? Are there things they could do with other personnel that we haven't seen in that spot, do you think?
Yep. I think, I really do think that, you know, Vic will definitely come up with some good little schemes to put people in good positions so that, you know, it won't seem like we're missing the beat.
Yeah.
And I think he does a great job with that. So, I mean, I can't wait to see what the game plan is, be around all week, and just make sure that, you know, I'm there for them boys.
You know, I don't know that I want to take Bond out of what he does. He's so good right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's all over the place.
Boy. Yeah. That boy, hey, he made a good little knockdown, didn't he? Man.
Oh, yeah.
He did. Crazy.
Nakobe yesterday, too, was all over the place. You guys looked possessed yesterday.
Let me tell you. Hey, them boys with big question marks coming in, huh?
Yep.
And I told y'all boys, man. I mean, I'm just happy that we ain't done nothing, and everybody hungry. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm just loving the hunger. I see these boys every day. I see them training. Stuff that y'all don't see, y'all only see on Sundays. But these boys have really worked their butt off. Then they got a good coach at that really preached, like, being together. Even, like, with the whole turnover balls and all that stuff that they do in their room, they collect them together. They put them in there. Ain't nobody bigger than the group, you know, and I love that. Because it really ain't. Ain't nobody bigger than the group. We all just make our plays when they come to them. Of course, we do our dance and we be hyped for it. But when you look at the film, if I don't get a sack sometimes because the coverage, it's a cover sack. And the DBs did their job. And so I was able to get a couple extra seconds and bam, I hit it. But then sometimes I just made a heck of a play and I got there faster and we might have had an open guy, but he couldn't get there because I got there so fast. So
right. It
all works together. And you know that it's all football is the man, the biggest team sport ever. And so whenever you get individuals, what you're going to have sometimes, you got to be able to check those individuals, not in a bad way, but it's like, hey, you don't see what I see. And with you being selfish, man, that's going to hurt us in the end because I need you to do exactly what you want your friends, what you want your teammates to do for you. You got to do that for them. And you know, it works together. You can still get everything that you want, but you got to make sure that you're willing to give up yourself in order for your teammates to want to give up of themselves. And so, I'm always preaching that. So it's cool to see them guys like Nakobe and them working together, communicating, being on the same page, and then everything is now showing up for them boys, man, because them boys, man, that just don't happen by accident. You got to put that work in. Because if everybody could do it, they would. But this is a different mindset you got to have with this sport. And them boys, knowing that their backs was up against the walls and people didn't know what they was going to do, came out and it's doing right now. And I hope they continue to keep elevating that game because they just getting started for real.
Last year, the end of the season obviously wasn't good. And that's in the past. I don't want to bring it up other than make reference. This team is so much more physical. It's just how does a coach and teach physicality and the way that a lot of the guys on your defense hit? How do you teach that? Or is that just within the person? Just is it understanding? What is it that helps this team be as physical as they are defensively?
Well, I just would say that. These boys,
you know what, man, I'm talking
yeah,
about.
I know what you're saying. I mean,
these guys
just,
are hitting, boy.
Hey, they hungry. Everybody working for them contracts. Not saying that that's always the case, but I just feel like that put a lot of stuff in perspective for a lot of people too. It's like all or nothing. We don't know. Every year, like I say, Howie is picking new guys for this year coming up. He already got a board. You know that if this don't pan out, some guys going to stay, some guys going to go, and it's going to be a totally different team this year coming up. But, you know, if we do it right, maybe he might scratch some people and might be able to afford some people to keep them here because, you know, sometimes you don't always get lucky to keep the same guys like we have, and they do a great job of keeping most of the main guys. And, I just think that these guys just hungry, a little bit of Coach Sirianni preaching it all the time. Then, you know, us handling the way we did it from last year to this year, it's like, man, we don't want to look like that. So a lot of guys have stepped up in a big way, like Nakobe and them. And then you got a Zach Bond who was down in New Orleans, but he wasn't killing like he's killing now. You know, because people giving him an opportunity here for real. And so I just know that, man, I just want to see them guys keep taking that next level in their game, and I want to be there to help them through it.
All right, man. Well, didn't want to see your season end this way, but understand you have a lot of fans in Philadelphia, and we love Brandon Graham. Yeah. And you truly are an Eagle we can be proud of, man. So, and you were right. You said you'd get better as the season got on. I was like, he's full of it. But you were right.
Hey, I'm just happy that because what I got that first year. Man, BG, you said this last year. You did this last year. I'm like, okay. But if I don't be positive about it, I don't think we get here. You know, because it's so much negative. Man, it's so easy to be negative, man. So you got to go against because what I say to people, never count somebody out. Yeah, they might be going through something right here this year. But wait, next year, watch them. You know, what a year does for some people, man. And I'm telling you, I never give up on nobody, man, because people, we all got something deep inside of us that once we find it and we turn it on, man, it ain't no stopping us. So I know that, I'm happy that my team is only getting better as we go, and we only going to keep getting better. And it's going to be sad when we holding that trophy. We're going to have fun, but it's going to be sad because it's over.
Good luck on the rehab. We're going to win it this year for BG, right? Yeah.
Man, we getting it.
All right. All right, the Players Lounge is next with Ike Reese, Hugh Douglas, Elliot Shore Parks, and Jordan Mailata. This has been the Brandon Graham Show, brought to you by Miller Lite. It is Miller time, Eagles fans. Celebrate responsibly.